Well, I want to look back into 1 Peter, and we're looking at chapter number 5 of 1 Peter. We've been making our way through this book for some time, and it's gotten delayed because of different special events on Sundays, but we're still chipping away at it. We're looking at verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Peter. So if you find your place there, and we'll get most of the message from there, perhaps go to 2, 3, and 4, but we'll certainly read those verses, get us started. So you're in 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible says here, as God's using Peter to write to him, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." He goes on to tell them, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." And then verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And I want to look at verse number 1, and we'll see how far we get through there. But as we're looking at this, the wonderful, powerful, used of God, the Apostle Peter is giving this verse, this chapter here. God's inspiring him to do it. And I have a wonderful thing that I'd like to just draw some applications out of that verse and trust that the Lord will bless us in it. I have the wonderful privilege of being pastor right here. This church is a great place to be, and I love it. I think that it truly is the Sunday place to be, and I think about the privilege I get to have as pastor. I think about the pastoral staff that we all serve together and the two men of God that God has brought to us. I'm thankful for the deacons that are sitting out here that we meet together with on a regular basis. I'm thinking about the harmony that they have together as we get to serve, and then I think about our church family, and we've seen so many folks come that God has brought into us. And then even in the times that are a little sadder, when God slips in and takes somebody on to heaven, then we just say praise his name as well. In January of 2020, Amy had a reminder come up on her phone the other day that this church announced that I would be the pastor. I'd already been here. The deacons had talked to me. We'd candidated, and you extend a call. I accepted. And January 26, one of the deacons got up and made the announcement that I would be the pastor. And then in March 8th of 2020, 5 years ago, I preached the first message as the pastor. I was the pastor before then, but I was a little further away and still helping the church up in Ohio. And then March 15th, I preached the second Sunday as the pastor. And then March 22nd, none of you all came because we went online. There was a few of you that came. Marty was here, Jack was here, right? Mason, Rick, several were here, but most of us weren't. So I had 2 good weeks to take a swing at all of us. And then we were online for some time, and we came back, and then me as the new pastor getting in, trying to get everybody's name, trying to figure out who they are, and Phyllis helped me out so much and made us a book of at least the Sunday school teachers and the deacons, and we tried to get pictures with all of those, and then we got everybody to come back, most everybody. Some folks, because of health issues, they weren't able to, but most folks came back. But then when you came back, here's what you look like. So it's hard to get to know people from their eyes up, because you had masks on. But the Lord helped us through all of those things. And so now we've been here 5 years, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing to get to see what God has done. Amen. And I'm looking forward to what he's going to have for us for now until he comes to get us. Now, when God comes to take us individually, as he's done some, then I'm never excited about it. I'm not ever. Sometimes I am, because the family needs it so much. But most of the time, we're not excited about that. But now when he comes to get us all together, as we sang about a little bit ago, then that'll be a glorious time. But until then, we've got a lot of work to do. Warren Wiersbe, who pastored Moody Church years ago and is known for his commentaries, the B series, Be This, Be That, he said as he was approaching the pulpit of Moody Church in Chicago, he said, "Hats off to the past, coats off to the future." Meaning there was a lot of work that needed to be done. And there is a lot of work that needed to be done. And in this passage, we see that Peter is used of God to admonish the people who are there. He says this, "To the elders which are among you, I exhort." on March the 2nd, just in a few weeks, my pastor will step into their church there at Franklin Road Baptist Church for the last time as the pastor, and that will be their succession Sunday. He will hand the reins over to the new pastor, and that's already been voted in, and they'll have that special emphasis on March the 2nd. It'll be a new era for the church. It'll be a new era for me not to have a pastor that's in the pastorate, and so he's always been and still will be a great help, but some things will just change. But I'm thinking about all of that and this passage of Scripture. We just so happened to come to it tonight. Thinking about how this man is under inspiration of God, leading the elders, the pastors, the leaders, the teachers, the ones that are in some sort of leadership there in the church. And as those churches are getting spread abroad, he's telling them some things. I want to look into a few of them. I want you to see, first of all, the humility of Peter. Because he says, I exhort you, those that are elders, who am also an elder. The humility of Peter, I see that because he doesn't say, this is the great apostle speaking here. If I were writing this and God would let me, I'd say, don't forget who's writing this to you. I'm the guy that got to see a lot of miracles. I'm the one that got out of the boat, and I'm the one that walked on the water with Jesus. I'm the one that did this. He doesn't say any of that. He says, I'm an apostle. He doesn't say, give me the place that I deserve. Now, today's vernacular, we'd say, if you don't brag about yourself, nobody else will. But Peter just says, I'm also an elder, just like many of you. And so as we look at this, I'm realizing that Scripture gives three words that describe the office: elder, bishop, and pastor. If you want to write these down, if you're taking notes, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2, it talks about a bishop. A bishop then must be blameless, the Bible says. A bishop, it's often translated overseer, like it is down in this chapter, but verse number 2, where it says taking the oversight thereof. It refers to the responsibility that somebody in the pastoral position has. They have the oversight thereof. Preacher Lastly was the entrusted overseer of this church for almost 5 decades. And he was given the great responsibility of this in 1 Timothy. That verse says a bishop then must be blameless. That's the way he lived. And our church has had wonderful pastors, Preacher Lastly and Brother Jody. And of course, we've had a string of them throughout our history. But bishop refers to that. And then elder also refers to that. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5. The Bible says, let the elders that rule well. It's talking about those people. And that elder, that specifically refers to the maturity of the office. Meaning that they've got to have that position of a mature individual that can make those decisions. And then the last one is pastor. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says this, and he gave some apostles and some pastors and teachers. So all three of those, bishop, elder, pastor, it just uses one here, the elder. But all of these refer to that person that has the wonderful privilege of doing what I'm blessed to get to do now. Many of you say, well, I know it's hard on you, the things are going on, and that's true, some things are, but I love it. This is a wonderful thing. Once you look down in verse number 2, it's telling those elders how they're supposed to carry out their office, feeding the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint. That means you're not being forced to do this. Nobody's forcing, pushing to say, you better do that or you're going to be in big trouble. This is what I love to do. Do I love every bit of it? No. There's many things when you have to walk through the valley with folks that lose a loved one. I don't enjoy that. I love the opportunity to minister to people, but I don't like it that folks are going through that. And I love to be there at hospitals with people, but I don't like the fact that they're at that. So I don't love every part of it, no, but I do love it. And so Scripture says it's not supposed to be by constraint. We're not supposed to be twisted in there or pushed. We've all done jobs that we don't like. And so Peter's telling these folks, not by constraint, but we see the humility that was given here. And I think about my pastor, who I told you will take in just a few weeks, will take his last position in the pulpit as pastor, and then will turn the reins over. But I remember him long before that, back in West Virginia, men of the church back then, we did things differently. We were seal coating the parking lot, and we were getting the stuff that you do it yourself at Lowe's or somewhere, and he was just out there with the rest of us. Everybody was out there serving together. I'm seeing about the humility here that Peter could have just said, I'm somebody, but he didn't. He says, I'm an elder like some of you all, but I want you to see not only that, the humility, but look on the rest of the verse. He's a witness of the sufferings of Christ I see not only the humility, but the experiences of Christ. He says, I'm a witness. If Peter's going to be writing a resume, he's got a pretty good one to write. Now, he would have to leave a few things out because he certainly wouldn't want to tell, and by the way, I'm the one that denied Christ. I'm the one that Jesus said, you're going to deny me before the rooster crows. And he said he would have had to leave that off his resume. But he's got a pretty impressive one if he's selective in what he puts on there. He's the one that gets to walk on water. He's the one that gets to see Christ do the miracles. He's the one at the Mount of Transfiguration, one of the few. He's one of the ones that are in all the inner circle things there. And I think about the resume or the experience of Peter here. Peter, the Bible says in John chapter 18, not that this is his highest moment, but he certainly was close to the action when he said, Peter smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Again, whether you want to put that on your resume or not, I don't know. It depends on who's reading it, I guess. But he certainly is close to what's going on. But Luke chapter 22 says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That was when he denied Christ. But Peter stood back. And the scripture is very true when he says, I've seen the sufferings of Christ. You see, he's the one that saw him being reviled and hated on, and he's the one that saw him go through things. He's the one that rebuked Peter. He's the one that, Peter's the one that heard him rebuke him and say, get thee behind me. He's the one that watched the Lord minister and take care of so many things. One of the favorite parts about Peter that I love is when in Mark chapter 16, the angel that's there giving words to the ladies as they're coming to the tomb to find Christ, but he's not there. Why seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. But the messenger tells those ladies, go your way, tell his disciples, and the next two words I love, and Peter. The Lord was knowing that Peter must have felt like a total heel and must have felt like a total failure. They said, tell him I want him to come as well. But I'm thinking about the experiences of Peter because everything that you do, it affects you. My papaw was a very frugal somebody. He'd lived through many, many hard times in his early life. Went to heaven in 1979. And so he had lived through the Depression and lived through many things before his death. And so he didn't waste very much. He told my dad, if you save things for 7 years, you're bound to use it. Now, as much product as we all take into our house, if we save whatever come into our house for 7 years, you wouldn't have no room at that house. But you got to remember back then, there wasn't as much stuff being produced or certainly not as much coming into our house. I'm amazed sometimes when I wheel that little dumpster out to our street every week, or unless I forget, but every Wednesday I try to, and I'm amazed at how much trash we send out. But that means there's a lot of stuff we're bringing in. Well, my papaw, he didn't waste very much stuff, but the reason was because he lived through a time when they didn't have anything. And so everything that you go through, that gives that experience, and that experience shapes the rest of your life. And Peter here is saying, under inspiration of God, he says, I've seen the sufferings. And maybe that's why he didn't brag about what he had seen or done, because he knew who really deserved the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the Lord. He denied the Lord. He was accepted, though, even after the denial. And no wonder he admonishes these elders and these people in the churches there to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I see the experience, but now I give you the last one here. And I want you to see the partnership, though, that he has. He says, I'm also a partaker. Not only is he experienced, but he's a partaker of some things. He's a partaker of the glory that shall be. I mentioned it before, but in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus is who he's talking about, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And Peter was there, one of the few disciples there that got to see the transfiguration of Christ. And so the partnership that Peter had with the Lord Jesus Christ is just a little bit of precursors that he had when he got to live and have his being. Can you imagine getting to see Christ just break up that bread and pass it out and break it and pass it out and break it and pass it out? I think if I'd have seen that, I would have never doubted him. But I've surprised myself on other instances as well when I shouldn't have pulled back from doing something for the Lord, but I did. So I can't be too hard on Peter, because I think that if I'd have seen the miracles that Peter saw, I would have never denied the Lord. But, you know, I've been given a great amount of blessing too, and I've not stood for the Lord like I should all the time, and neither have you. And so we see, though, the partnership that Peter has. He says he was transfigured before them, and Peter got to see all of this. And I would think that that would set your sails to live a life for Christ. You'd never turn back, but we know that Peter did. But we see that he had just a little bit of that partaker. He says, I'm a partaker. There's a glory coming. I've already got a little bit of a hors d'oeuvres of it. I've got a foretaste of it before. I remember when we were redoing this auditorium and I saw the conceptual drawings that the architects put forth, and there were some things I was questioning, and they said, well, this is this and this, and they explained some things, and I thought how beautiful it's going to be. And then we came in and it was better than I imagined, and the way that it looks more grand than it used to, and now we're kind of used to it, but it was a wonderful thing to get to see what God had was going to do for us. I think about it like when young couples and some are expecting little ones. We've had several little ones that have been born into the church family. And I think about, though, when they've got that ultrasound picture and they're looking at that and they're thinking, wow, that's wonderful. And they just fall in love with a little one they haven't even seen in person yet. But they look at that and they know it's going to be great. But then it's nothing like holding that little one when he comes or she comes. I think about Nate and Jackson and Levi and Carson and all these little ones that are around. I'm thinking about how beautiful it is. And there, you get to partner with that. They're partakers of that. And that's only just a little small illustration of what I believe that Peter was talking about here. He says, I'm a partaker of the glory of God. And I think about what you and I have been entrusted with. You got the in on salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I grew up hearing about Christ and knowing about him. But one day I bowed my head and my heart and I received Christ as my Savior, and I'm a partaker of what God did. I've only got a little bit of a glimpse, but one of these days I'm going to be a full-fledged partaker. It's going to pour over me like I've never been able to imagine. And I think about Peter as he says, I'm a partaker of the glory of God. And I think about us, that glory that shall be revealed. Peter says, I'm a partaker, and we'll all be partakers of that God says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Look down in verse number 4, if you make your way forward a little bit, and he says, and then he's talking to these shepherds, or the elders, the pastors, the bishops, all those. He's saying, and then when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He says, you think this is wonderful to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we and I as the pastor think this is good tonight, and I do, I'm having a time up here. I was nervous when I got started, but now I'm liking it. Amen. Like Tony Hudson, he says, man, I had butterflies in my stomach, but now they're flying in formation. So I'm enjoying what I'm doing, but I'm not enjoying this like we're going to enjoy it one of these days when the chief shepherd shall appear. Oh, my Lord, what a wonderful time it will be. And I'm thinking about the partnership that he had. He says, I'm just a partaker of that, and that's exactly what you are. Oh, I wish that I could get every rebellious teenager that doesn't want to live for Jesus Christ. He's saved or she's saved, but is not living for Christ. I wish I could get them and show them how wonderful it is just to be a partaker of what glorious thing is birthed inside of them when they got saved. And many of you did the same thing that they're doing, but lest we look down our nose at them, we were trying to be just as worldly as we can be. We liked the fire escape of salvation. We didn't want to go to hell. We liked that, but we didn't want to go full force. What I would tell every one of them, we are partaker of the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. Just dive in full force. Don't let the world detract you from that. And I think of Peter as he says, I'm a partaker of that glory that one of these days shall be revealed. Amen. Hold on. It's just going to be a little while longer and it's going to be revealed. I think about this. Peter's getting ready. He's getting ready in verse number 2 to tell the elders to feed the flock. He says, feed the flock which among you. There's a reason why the pastors, if he is a good one, if he's a biblical one, not good in the world, what the world says, because we can't count on the world to say the right thing anyways. But there's a reason why pastors aren't just supposed to give opinions and give their philosophies and take the news of the day or the happenings on the news. There's a reason why they're not supposed to do that, because it says in verse number 2, feed the flock of God. So since it's not their flock, they're not supposed to be the one that chooses what they get to hear. So if I wanted to bring you and say, there are some good ideas that I want to present. Now, as pastor, and God might lead me and to say, okay, here are some good ideas that are not unbiblical, but extra biblical, that you want to build a building, or you want to pave a parking lot, or you want to buy this, you want to do that. And then we come together as a church family. Certainly that's true. And that's needed. But when the lion's share of all the speaking that gets done in here for church services and Sunday school classes and junior churches and Spanish church, all of those, the reason it has to be straight from the scripture is because the flock that we're supposed to be feeding is not our flock. Now, I know what we mean when we say, that's my church. And if somebody's distinguishing this church from a church down the road, we might all say, yeah, that's my church. And we know what we mean, but it truly isn't. It's the Lord's church. We are privileged. I'm privileged to get to be the pastor. We're privileged to get to be servants here. But the reason we can't just choose to say what we want to say is because it's not the flock of the people. It's the flock of God. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof. And so the elders there, Peter says, that not only do you feed them, but you take the oversight. Somebody's got to lead. Somebody's got to say, this is what the next thing is. This is what the message for the day is. This is what passage of scripture we're looking in. Somebody's got to say, well, this is what I'd like to bring this to the church to say, let's vote on this to go forward here. But even that, it tells them how they're supposed to take the oversight there. You see, it says, not by constraint. They're not forced. They're not held at gunpoint to say, hey, you need to do that, but willingly. And then it goes on to say another negative of how they're not supposed to do it, and that's for filthy lucre's sake. Not supposed to do it just because it's a good gig. Well, he's making tons of money. That's why he's in it. It's not for the big payday, but instead it's of a ready, or just means a willing mind. And so if God would see fit to take me on to heaven and the church has to get into the realm of calling another pastor, and you want him to be this one. You want him to be not doing it just because, well, you said you'll pay what? I believe I could do it for that. You don't want him to do it for the money's sake. You don't want him to do it because somebody forced him to do it. You want him to do it, as the scripture says, of a willing mind, of a ready mind, somebody that's going forward because this is what they believe God wants them to do, and they have to stay feeding the flock of God. But not only that, look in verse number 3. We've got a little time. I want to finish up here. Not only taking the oversight, but then not being a dictator in verse number 3. Neither as being lords, little l, lords or rulers over God's heritage. In Matthew chapter 23, God's talking about the Pharisees. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Remembering that nobody gets a godlike status. Remembering that if you ever get to a place where somebody's able to call the shots and they're followed unquestioned, then that's not a biblical dynamic there. Neither is being lords or forcers, bosses over God's heritage, but being examples or examples to the flock. And then he's telling these bishops or these elders that you're going to have this job for a certain amount of time. There's an end date, expiration date. There's a time when you're going to be off duty. Now, some of them, they got off duty because of death, obviously, and something that will happen to all pastors as well, unless verse number four happens. And when the chief shepherd, that's just another push back to the word pastor, which is one of the names for the person that God leads to shepherd the church. And when the chief shepherd, the big S, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so gives a promise of reward or a promise of a crown to those folks that hold those positions. And so my message was all in verse number one, but I felt led just right before the message, or right before the service, rather, I wrote those last four down because I thought maybe God would have us get to that spot. And here we are sitting at 5 years that I've been blessed to be the pastor of this wonderful church. And Amy and I love our church family. whenever I hear that maybe somebody's not getting along, and that doesn't happen very often, but you know, we're all human and somebody may say something unkind to somebody, it grieves me. Because I want that harmony that God says is available to church families. And when we walk preferring one another, then we have that very thing. And so this is not medicine because somebody's doing wrong. I certainly don't know of any. If I did, I couldn't be so blunt as I'm going to be. But I would challenge you in this blunt statement to make sure that you keep the health of other people in the church family that God has brought you in. You keep the health of those people, and I'm not talking about physical health, but their spiritual health on a high plane, and you really value that. And be careful not to offend other people. Sometimes we get smart aleck and we say, well, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So you say, I can say anything to you and you shouldn't get offended. And that's true. But why would I use that as a challenge to you and put all of the burden on you and say, you're supposed to be spiritual and be in the book, so you shouldn't get offended no matter how much of a jerk I am? Well, that's taking the responsibility put on you and not putting on me. And so I'm so grateful for a church that we get to come together. And the Bible says we get to be co-laborers in Christ. And there's nothing I love more than what I'm doing to get to be the pastor. And there's many parts of the job that I never thought I would do. I love my pastor so much. And for a long time, I just assumed that I would always be his assistant. But God moved on my heart and put me in this spot, and I'm more than grateful that he did. But I want you to know, as your pastor, I take great weight in verses like this when God tells us to be careful and mind yourself that you don't get heady and high-minded and we don't become lords over God's heritage. That we try to lead by example and we try to have a servant attitude, because truly, if Christ taught us anything, and he did, of course, and he taught us that we're supposed to be servants to all. And so as we come and get to this 5 years, just so happened that we were in this passage of Scripture and the Lord kind of put all that together. That notification came up on Amy's phone the other day. I'm so thankful that our church is at the position that it is, and we have this spirit of unity, because great churches have gone through a lot of troubles, and doesn't mean they're bad people, just means that kind of the devil got a foothold in some certain things. And so I'm just so grateful that God has given us this spirit of unity. And I don't know of anybody that I couldn't walk up to tonight, either the ones that are here this evening, the ones that are here this morning, or the ones that come on a regular basis and just have good fellowship with. I don't know anybody. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to say. So thank you. Now, if the deacons are going to get up after me and say that we're going to announce a church vote to find a new pastor, then forget what I just said. Bobby, you're good. That's a yes, you are going to, or a yes, you're happy the way it is. We get to have a lot of fun at our church. And the reason I believe that is because we don't, not that we don't have any, because we're human, but we don't have a lot of that divisiveness that somebody wants to get their agenda across at the expense of somebody else. We've all been in little family meetings where somebody would say something, but what they really meant was an underlying tone, and they were really trying to get another message across. They just didn't want to say that because it sounded so bad, and so they said one thing but meant something else. I'm thankful that we don't have that, and I'm grateful for the chance to be a part of this wonderful church. I'm going to ask you to do something. We'll have the ladies come and play, whoever our instrumentalists are tonight. And then I'd just like to ask several of you to come around the altar and pray for God to just keep his hand upon Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I thank you, many of you, all of you do it, but many of you tell me that you pray for me, and I ask you to continue to do that. I need wisdom from the Lord. But we also need God's hand as we help accept new people into the church, because God's bringing new people all the time, and we want to be the church for the folks that have been here for years and decades, but we also want to be the church that helps the folks that God brought along just this week. And so we want wisdom in that. And so I'm going to ask you to just come and pray, or pray there in your seat, that God would continue to do a great work in this church. Ladies, if you'll play for us, and if you'll stand together, if you're able to, just invite you to come and pray. There'll be plenty of folks down at the front. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, that was not at all what I preached about. But if you've had a knock on your heart's door and you know that something's needed, would you come and let me or somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home? But then I ask the Sunday school teachers, leadership, deacons, those ushers, greeters, anybody to come and pray for this old church, that we could just keep the sweet spirit that God's been so gracious to give. As these continue to play, maybe you weren't able to make it to the altar. Would you just maybe sit right there in your seat and make an altar out of that? You don't have to turn around and kneel, but just make an altar out of there. Say, Lord, this church, it's a New Testament. Independent, we just do what we do right here on this property. It's independent. It's a New Testament church. It's trying to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, please keep your hand upon it. May the ways of man stay out, and may your word and your precepts always reign supreme. Thank you. May look this way. Well, it has been a thrill to be in church all day long, and I'm thankful to Brother Daniel and the music that was provided today. Thank you. It was a wonderful blessing to me all day long. The choir and the specials and the Armstrong family tonight, Miss Amy Pugh this morning, and the choir, both services, just a wonderful, wonderful time. And then, Brother Kyle, we have the privilege of serving together as well, not only he, Brother Daniel, myself, and him, and then a host of others as well, but this pastoral staff. Brother Kyle is not in any of our morning services because he's taking care of children, and he's just doing a great, wonderful job. And so I'm just thankful for who God's gathered together. We still looking for another pastoral staff to add to this when God provides it. I just give that update. That's not what I intended to say tonight, but Brother Dan's been gone for some time, and we are still praying after God's leadership in that. And we could have hired lots of people, but don't want to get the wrong one. We want to get the right one. And but these men are served so well, and I'm thank God for that. So Brother Kyle, I'm going to ask you to come and dismiss us in prayer. And Amy and I are going to get back to the lobby. And don't forget, if you would like to sign up for the couples retreat, please stop by and see one of us in the back. Brother Archie Johnson will be back there selling tickets. And the reason we're selling the tickets, we don't make enough money to cover the expense of it, but that's not our point. But maybe you'd like to buy a ticket, and that way you could tell somebody, I've already bought your ticket, here it is. I think they're $4 each, but you could use that as an invite to say, I've got your ticket, would you come and go with me? And so I realize sometimes you'll buy the tickets, you won't use all of them because of that, but it's a way that we can get people in here for this bridge event, bridge people in that don't come to church usually, but they might come for that night. So all that and more will be out there tonight, and we're thankful for the work that we'll go into. Brother Kyle, pray for us, please.
Lord, we are just so thankful for the day that we had to come to church and fellowship with one another and, Lord, serve you and worship together, Lord. And Lord, I do pray that your hand would be on our church, and Lord, that you continue to work and use us. Lord, we're just so thankful. Lord, thank you for our pastor and how he leads us. And Lord, we're thankful for Lord, how you've used our church for so many years. But Lord, we're praying that you continue to use us, and Lord, that we would continue to step out and to reach people for you. Lord, we pray that as we go out this week, Lord, that you would watch over every single person in here, Lord, that you'd protect us, Lord, and use each of us this week. And we pray all of this in your name. Amen.